You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll get to your questions in just a moment. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Do want to mention what I promised to mention on yesterday's broadcast, and that is a response to Jerry Coyne, professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolution at the University of Chicago. He's writing in USA Today in the forum. The article is titled, "As Atheists Know, You Can Be Good Without God." And in the article, he makes a comparison between his morality and the morality of Jesus Christ. And in his view, his morality is obviously superior to the morality of Jesus Christ. Well, how does he prove that? Well, in part, he proves that by saying that in the New Testament, Jesus preaches principles of questionable morality. And he gives three examples, barring heaven to the wealthy, approving the beating of slaves, and damning sinners to the torments of hell. And of course, anyone who has read the Bible even once knows that what he is writing is nonsense. But if you do not have discernment skills, and if you do not know how to mine the Bible for all its wealth, you can easily be fooled by the Jerry Coynes of the world. Is it true that Jesus bars heaven to the wealthy? Of course not. Certainly, he did say that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. And in doing so, he was using hyperbole. In fact, the disciples throw up their hands and say, if that's true, who then can be saved? And the enigmatic's response is that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. That's the point. He lived the perfect life that we could never live and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift, a gift we cannot earn or deserve. We can simply reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. And that gift was offered to the rich young ruler. It was not Christ who rejected the rich young ruler, but precisely the opposite. Jerry Coyne is just dead wrong. Does Jesus approve the beating of slaves? Perish the thought. He gets this by a misreading of the parable of the stewards. This has nothing whatsoever to do with actual slaves or beating for wrongdoing. The actual real-life application of this parable is the principle that the more one knows of and about Jesus Christ, the more responsible one becomes. And as such, there are degrees of faithfulness and degrees of responsibility, with corresponding degrees of reward and punishment. Unfaithfulness in our walk with God is costly. Faithfulness will be richly rewarded. And as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, first century context of slavery is much different than the kind of slavery that was practiced in Europe and the American South. I write about that in Has God Spoken? As far as hell is concerned, another issue that I deal with in the book God does not, and Jesus Christ is God, does not damn sinners to the torments of hell. He gives them what they want. Which is to say, he's not a cosmic rapist that forces himself on people. If someone does not want his love, want a relationship with him in this life, he doesn't force it on them. If he did, heaven wouldn't be heaven, heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. C.S. Lewis was right. There are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God in the end says, "Thy will be done." In other words, if you do not want a relationship with me, I will ratify your will. And yet he continues to sustain them in existence, though they have chosen to live apart from his goodness and his grace. Much more could be said. I've written about all of this and more in my book, The Apocalypse Code, and also in my newest release, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The Bible is, in fact, true. It is, in fact, trustworthy. And you can be equipped with memorable proofs of the Bible's divine inspiration. I've said this before, but this is the apex of my writing career, and we will put a book into your hands for a gift to the ministry, the book now available only to our constituency. It'll be released in bookstores everywhere and on Amazon and so forth in the very near future, but you can order right now for your gift to the ministry at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can pick up the phone, talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. And do remember, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend, or if you join the monthly support team, I'll personalize a copy of Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank, first up is Ernie. He's listening on the web in Oregon. Hi, Ernie.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for what you're doing every day, exposing all this false teachers and false religions. I appreciate that, and I pray for you every day.
Thank you so much, Ernie.
What I called you about is I can't see how this guy Harold Camping can get the following that he has when he teaches so ridiculous. I just can't understand it. How does he get people to support him?
Well, you know, he's a moving target, and people have short memories, and I think that's essentially the problem. Which is to say, people have, by and large, forgotten that he is the guy that predicted the end of the world September 6, 1994. In fact, he made it very explicit at that time that for those who had not received Jesus Christ, effectively the end had come. No one else could be saved, he said, after September 6, 1994. Well, September 6, 1994 came and went, and nothing happened. So he went back to his speculations and to his false biblical interpretations, came up with a new date. And that date has come and gone.
He has already changed this date from May 21st to now. He says he was a few months off, and now he says it's October.
He says it's October 21st, 2011, and then he says the world will be destroyed. In other words, that's the absolute end of the world. Yes, you're right. He said that, you know, there's an invisible thing that happened now in May 21st, 2011, kind of like what all of the cultists do. They kind of rework their prophecy. They can't quite get around to saying that they're wrong.
I can't think about anybody that has any intelligence at all falling for that stuff.
Well, that's exactly the problem, though. A lot of people do fall for it, and it's not just dumb people. A lot of people are fearful in their condition, and this kind of thing ends up scaring them for a moment, and then when they find out it is an illusion, they start thinking that all of Christianity is an illusion, and oftentimes they fall out as marginal Christians. The back door of the churches open up, they fall out into the kingdom of the cults. They don't know what to believe, who to trust, or what to do anymore. So this is not just the kind of thing, no harm, no foul, but this is what causes incredible devastation in the lives of literally thousands of people. And you're absolutely right, Ernie. A lot of people are continually transfixed by this man. It's hard to believe, but the antidote is learning discernment skills. If you know discernment skills, you're never going to fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to a Canadian listener, Jim, CHRB, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank.
Hi. Thanks
for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, I've heard a couple of people call in about that book, Heaven is for Real.
Yeah.
And I've read the book, and I know you discounted on your show, but I guess my question, or a couple of things that I've heard you mention that that you didn't agree with, was one was that they didn't have bodies, they wouldn't be having bodies in heaven. Is that correct?
No.
No. When you read that story in Luke.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
But we'll get to your question specifically if you got a question about Luke. But let me just clarify what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Colton recalls that everyone's got wings in heaven except for Jesus. And what I've said is the scriptures teach that the believer's resurrection is patterned after Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, what I'm saying is that we do not have bodies. After we die, we have our bodies resurrected when Jesus Christ returns a second time.
Right. But if you read that scripture with the rich man and Lazarus, because it says, now it came about that the poor man died, like he was sitting at the rich man's gate or whatever, and he was carried away, so he's dead now, and the rich man died, and they're buried. And now in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, he saw Abraham, and he saw Lazarus. So there's got to be something in between that they obviously saw. Like the rich man saw Lazarus, but they weren't resurrected yet. They were in Hades and in Abraham's bosom.
Well, if you're right about this, all of Orthodox Christianity has been wrong throughout the centuries. So you've got a new revelation here. That's the first thing I would say to you, Jim.
Well, how do you put the story into the context then?
Well, the context is that the rich man dies and Lazarus dies, and they're in torment. They're experiencing an earnest of what is to come. But they're absent from the body. They're either in torment because they're absent from the presence of God, or they are in Abraham's bosom or paradise, which is a metaphorical way of saying they're in the presence of God.
But I guess my point is they could see, they recognized each other. They could see each other. Like on the last time I heard you talk about this, you said that they wouldn't have had, like old Colton couldn't have recognized anybody because they wouldn't have had bodies.
Seeing
but
is
here,
a way of
Jesus said they do.
Okay, but Jim, I want you to know something right now, and I'm not trying to impose authority on you here from the centuries, but I'm simply trying to tell you something. If you happen to be right, the Christian church for 2,000 years has been wrong.
How though?
Christian orthodoxy has always taught that when you die, your body is buried. The non-corporeal aspect of your humanity is either present with the Lord or is absent from the presence of the Lord and therefore torment. And then what happens is the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and Jesus put it this way, "Do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." So Christian orthodoxy has always taught that when Jesus comes a second time, The soul returns to the body, and the body is resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So if you and Todd Burpo are right, then Jesus is wrong, and Christian orthodoxy has been wrong. That's the choice you have to make. And that's what I was pointing out about heaven is for real. I'm saying Colton's heaven is not for real. Certainly heaven is, but not the heaven that he's describing. Because heaven is what happens when paradise lost becomes paradise restored. What the rich man was experiencing is an earnest of what is to come. What Lazarus was experienced is an earnest of what is to come, one in torment, the other in bliss. But what is to come doesn't happen until Jesus Christ returns a second time. Then we receive our resurrected bodies. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
At a time when even Christian young people are hooking up, traditional ways of teaching biblical morality are no longer effective. Young people don't need simple rules. They need reasons to make sense of the rules. That is, they need to be taught the worldview rationale for biblical morality. In the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, award-winning author Nancy Piercy provides just the needed worldview rationale for biblical morality in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
At the Christian Research Institute, we count every gift from God's people as a special blessing. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, to give you assurance in the reliability of God's Word. In Has God Spoken? Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team or give a gift of $100 or more, you'll receive a personalized edition of Has God Spoken? To donate, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going to go right back to our phone callers now. Next up is Richard, listening on Bot Radio in Oklahoma. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
Good. Nice talking to you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I got a quandary here. I heard a while back. Let me just lay this out, and then you can, fix my problem here. Somebody told me that in the Old Testament, when God was dealing with the Israelites, He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to punish sin, and I want you to put the sin out from among you. You judge it here, you judge it there, et cetera, et cetera. And then he comes back later, he says, look, guys, you're not doing what I told you to do. You're allowing sin to flourish. You know, you're cutting them slack over here, and you're letting them get away with this and that. He says, I tell you what, I'm going to punish you because you're not punishing the evil ones. Now, my two-part question is, does that even exist in Scripture? And is that still applicable today? And I thought that since you were a powerful and influential member of the community, maybe you could, enlighten me, I guess.
Well, I think the overall principle is blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel. That was the history of Israel. Israel inherited the promised land, they were told in the same instance that if they followed the detestable ways of the pagan nations who were in the land before them, that the same judgment that followed those nations would follow them. In other words, Israel was used as an axe of God's judgment against the Canaanites, but later on, Babylon and Assyria were the axes of God's judgment against Israel. So the constant ongoing principle is, again, blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel. And in the ultimate sense, though all of us are rebellious in one sense or another, we all have the prerogative, the opportunity to realize that we are sinners, to repent of our sin, and then to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and then we're covered by His righteousness as opposed to being exposed in our own self-righteousness.
Is there any particular scripture? Is it like a second Deuteronomy or third Hezekiah? Or where would I find this?
Well, what I'm...
Start the ball rolling, I guess.
Yeah, what I'm trying to... What I would suggest is that you take a moment to read through the Bible, and that starts in a moment, and it can be a pattern for the rest of your life. But you can also just momentarily turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I've commanded you today, then the Lord your God will restore you, and He will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations. But again, this is not a verse. This is understanding the panoply of Scripture, which is to say, what is Scripture? Well, Scripture starts with Adam and Eve. They fall into lives of perpetual sin, terminate by death, and then the rest of the Bible is God's unfolding plan of redemption, culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sarah, listening on Bot Radio in Casey, Missouri. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Recently somebody told me that they didn't think we should take the Bible literally, that it's more of a guide to live good lives like Christ did. and I don't know exactly how to respond to that. They also said they didn't think heaven was real. It's more of a state of being we can find within us.
Well, they're simply wrong. And a couple of things I would say. First of all, words are not univocal. They're equivocal. In other words, they take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. With respect to the word literally, if you ask me, do I take the Bible literally, I would say yes. But what does that mean? It means that I read the Bible as literature, inspired, infallible literature. And I always read it in the sense in which it's intended, which is to say, when God asks Adam and Eve, where are you? I don't take that literally to mean that God doesn't know everything, but rather this is a heavenly condescension that is being used. There are times when the Bible uses hyperbole. There are times when the Bible uses similes or metaphors or parables, which are extended similes or metaphors. So the Bible uses figures of speech just as we use figures of speech in common parlance. So if I tell you that I'm having a bout of depression, you don't ask me whether I'm having a fight on a low spot in the road. You know precisely what I mean because I'm using a metaphor. When the Bible uses metaphors, if you read that in a woodenly literal way rather than the sense in which it's intended as literature, then you're going to miss the meaning. So, yes, I take the Bible literally, but the Bible uses what literature uses, figures of speech. And therefore, we have to take all of that into context or into account.
Okay.
As far as heaven is concerned, let me just say something about that. We are physical beings. We now live in a physical universe. God created the physical universe, and He created us as physical beings. We have been separated from our Redeemer, from the lover of our souls by sin. We can also be restored to that through salvation. And when that happens, we will experience this universe restored. That's the story of Scripture. The Bible is not platonic. It's very physical. We are awaiting the return of a physical Christ, the restoration of a physical universe, and we are awaiting the transformation of our bodies from mortal to immortal, from perishable to imperishable, from corruptible to incorruptible. So the Christian hope is in a physical resurrection, in a physical universe. So heaven is not just a state of being.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Peter next. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Bozeman, Montana. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Hank. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Just a couple things.
Yeah.
Dumb down a little bit the recognition factor between Lazarus and the rich man and Abraham.
Well, knowing is not seeing. I mean, that's a category mistake. I mean, here's what's going on. I mean, you can see something, or you can have the word see being used as to know. It doesn't mean that Lazarus has physical eyes. It doesn't mean that the rich man has physical eyes. This is a classic example of a parable, and you can't make a parable walk on all fours. If you do, you're going to have nonsense. If I say it's raining cats and dogs, and you try to take that figure of speech and try to make it walk on all fours, like a cat or a dog, you're going to miss the meaning of what I'm saying, which is it's raining hard.
Okay, I get it. It's in parable form, and I miss that.
Yeah, it's a parable, and what Jesus is saying, what's the point of what he's saying? He's saying there's a rich man, he's enjoying all the luxuries of life, and there's a poor man who is the scourge laying by his gate. He's abandoned. He's experiencing torment on this earth, but the roles are reversed after death. The parable is intended to say that when you die, you are going to be either in the presence of God or separated from the presence of God. And if you are separated from the presence of God, you're going to be in torment. And that torment is expressed as flames of fire in this particular parable. Elsewhere, it's expressed as blackest darkness forever. But again, these are metaphors to communicate just how horrible it will be to be separated from the love and goodness of God for all eternity. And so the rich man talks. He asks the Lord. I mean, again, this is Jesus Christ giving a heavenly condescension. He's talking about heavenly things in ways that we can relate to. He's talking about how horrible this is. And so in this parable, the rich man says, well, can I at least go back and warn my five brothers that they don't come to a place like this? And the enigmatic response is they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, they're not going to believe even if someone rises from the dead. In other words, the point here is they have the law, Moses, they have the prophets, and therefore they have everything necessary. Even if the rich man would return back in his body and live on the earth and preach to his brothers, it wouldn't be more than they already had. They had plenty. In other words, as Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So they've got they've got plenty of light. They're just not responding to the light that they have. And if they were responding, they get more light.
Okay, I'm getting it now. I haven't been listening, but for maybe 6 months, and I've learned an awful lot more about how to mine the Bible and understand it, you know, in its overall sense, rather than try to pick out little portions and confuse myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one more, it's kind of a deeper thought to me. In Hebrews where it says that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting bone and marrow, alive. Have you, or do you believe that, you know, you can read a portion of Scripture, have the Holy Spirit speak to you in one way, and say maybe 5 years later, read the same passage and have it speak to you in a different manner?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or has it made an error?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that there are various levels of depth to which you can go as you mine the Bible for all its wealth. And therefore, you can read a passage and get something good at it in one out of it at one particular juncture in your life. And then later on, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see even more riches in that same passage. But remember, the Bible is never going to be contradictory such that you can get one meaning out of it one time and then an opposite meaning or a contradictory meaning out of it at some other time in the future. That's never going to happen, but you can have precept upon precept and layer upon layer of richness and meaning as you plumb the depth of Scripture. And this is one of the reasons I wrote my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. I hope you get it, enjoy it, learn from it, and use it for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We'll be right back with more of your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Institute's website, equip.org, is loaded with free resources you can download anytime. Do a keyword search and find a host of articles on your topic. Listen to a 3-minute Ask Hank program. Watch videos, order books, or stream the Bible Answer Man broadcast right on your computer. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter. If you're looking for a place to sharpen your discernment skills, log on to equip.org today. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back.
Thank you. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Apocalypse Code audiobook is now available from the Christian Research Institute. Hank Hanegraaff reads the entire unabridged audiobook on MP3 CD. The Apocalypse Code will give you a better understanding of the end times, but will also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It will show you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is found in the rest of Scripture. Order the Apocalypse Code audiobook on MP3 CD or MP3 download directly from our website at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/audiobooks. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Carolyn, listening on Bot Radio, Longview, Texas. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I've been listening to you really for just a couple of years, but I've heard you say over and over, and I think your commercial may have answered my question that you just had, talking about how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Yeah.
You know, I've always read the Bible, and I feel like I have a lot of the puzzle pieces, but I don't have the puzzle box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order to, you tend to want to refer to specific verses, but then you can't always explain everything that goes with that, how it reflects back to the Old Testament. So I've learned really that from listening to your program. So my question is, how do I start that process? And I just heard your commercial about your book. Is it the Apocalypse Code?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, my question really is, how do I start that process to link all of these pieces that I have so that I have the whole picture? Do I start from Genesis and go to Revelation? Straight through, or
yeah. Well, what I have, I have a legacy reading plan. And that legacy reading plan is available in a number of different formats. It's actually in an appendix in my latest book, Has God Spoken, which I've been talking about the last week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But the legacy reading plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books.
Okay.
And as it is essential to read through books rather than bits, it's also helpful to read biblical authors sequentially. So the legacy reading plan is grouped by author. And that's particularly helpful because even though biblical authors wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, their personalities, their proclivities are clearly evident in what they're writing. And the overarching objective of the legacy reading plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year for the rest of your life. The reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons. The seasons are segmented into months. So at the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter, your focus will be on the Pentateuch and poetry. In the spring, the historical books. In the summer, the prophets. And during the fall, the New Testament. So you can pick up just about any time you want, because each season is further broken down into months. So every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus. Every December, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are times when you will naturally read a lot of chapters at a same time or at a sitting, and others when you just read one or two. But more importantly, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature, which is to say that if you're going to read one of my books, you want to read through it sequentially. But I also break up my books in such a way that each part stands on its own. And that's sort of analogous to what goes on in Scripture. If you read Romans, you don't want to pick and choose. You want to first get an overview of Romans. Now, there are going to be verses in Romans that particularly speak to you, and you can dwell on them, but you want to get an overview because Paul is making a sustained argument in Romans, and you want to read through the whole thing to get what he's doing. It's really pretty cool, too, because just to give you an idea of Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, he starts in Romans 1, and he's talking about the light of creation. Then in Romans 2, he gets into the light of conscience. He brings it all together in Romans chapter 3 by giving us the light of Christ. And in essence, what we learn from that is that we have within us the light of conscience, and outside of us, the light of creation. And if we respond to those lights, we'll receive the light of Christ. He goes on then, and he builds this beautiful, sustained case, and ultimately gives us some kind of an idea of how the body of Christ is even supposed to function, and how, as believers, we're not born as Lone Ranger Christians, but born into a community of faith. So it's a beautiful, systematic, sustained argument. You got to get the whole thing.
So how do you get the overview of the whole book? Just the page that's like in front of the book in the Bible?
No, well, I do that in my Legacy Reading Bible by giving you a memorable acronym that gives you the location, the essence, the genre. It gives you the author. It gives you the context. It gives you when the book was written in the years it deals with. So that gives you sort of an overall basis of what's going on, and then you can dive into the book.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, thank you for bringing that to my mind, because I really had never looked at it that way. Maybe it's been said to me before, but I didn't get it until now.
Well, I'm glad you got it now, and any resources we can help you with, let us know.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bless you, Carolyn. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron. He's listening on Bot Radio in Indiana. Hi, Ron.
Good talking to you, Hank, and God bless your ministry.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, could you share with us the position of the Bible on abortion?
Well, yeah. I think first and foremost, we have to recognize what the Bible says in Psalm 139. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. In the Christian worldview, when a woman gives birth, she doesn't give birth to a mere body. She gives birth to a human being, which means a body-soul unity. And the moment of conception, you have a person. That person doesn't have a fully developed personality, but does have full personhood from the moment of conception. So we believe as Christians on the basis of the Bible that the child who would be terminated through an abortion is the product of human parents, has a totally distinct human genetic code, and that child is a child and will grow into adult. And that you are a human, however, in all stages of your development.
Yes, I agree with everything you said, and that's, you know, it's just sad that our country would be in the position that we would support institutions that, you know, have abortion, and it's just, I just wanted to bring that up. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. And thank you, and I want to make a couple of comments about that, because this is a silent Holocaust in our midst, and it shouldn't simply pass by us. We need to be aware of what's going on. Those who continue to fight legislation restricting abortion are in reality not pro-choice. They're singularly pro-murder. And while rhetoric has served to camouflage the carnage of abortion, it remains the painful killing of an innocent human being. I say abortion is painful in that the methods employed to kill a preborn child involve burning, smothering, dismembering, and crushing. And these procedures are executed on live babies who have not been anesthetized. Abortion involves killing. The zygote, which fulfills the criteria needed to establish the existence of biological life, in other words, has metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, it is terminated. And Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger acknowledged this point when she said the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is kill it. Thankfully, in God's economy, there's hope for those who have experienced the ravages of abortion. Not only can we receive God's forgiveness in the here and now, but they can yet look forward to the ecstasy of reunited with their unborn loved ones in eternity. We lost a little preborn child, baby Grace. And because of the biblical paradigm that we embrace, we had a full-blown funeral for her, though she was a preborn child. And we know with certainty that one day we will feel her embrace. And she is a part of our family. And she will forever be a person in eternity. The DNA that made Grace Grace is the DNA that will make Grace Grace for all eternity. And she will flower into the perfect person that she was designed to be. That ultimately is the story of resurrection. And during this broadcast, we have talked about reading the Bible for all its worth and mining it for all its wealth. And it's important to recognize that there is a time coming for every one of us in which we will be resurrected. Not just believers, but unbelievers as well. Again, in Heaven is for Real, Todd Burpo is simply wrong. Believers will be resurrected, but so will unbelievers. They will be resurrected physically. Jesus told us that emphatically, clearly, without hesitation and without contradiction. But those who are resurrected apart from Christ will experience a Christless eternity, which is what hell is. Those who are resurrected in Christ will experience the physical master, the one who died on our behalf to reconcile us to him for time and for eternity. We will physically experience him. We will commune with him. We will grow to love him more. And we will experience what he has prepared for us. A new heaven and a new earth. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. And the picture in Revelation is poignant and profound. We see the river, the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The picture presented in Revelation is that of paradise lost becoming paradise restored. That is the hope of the believer. It is not the hope of the materialist. It is the hope of the believer who does believe in a material resurrection. I've written about this in my book, Resurrection, as well as Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, available now. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to take complex issues and make them understandable and accessible to all. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will help you grow in your Christian walk and help you defend the faith. So contact us today. Call us toll free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find a wealth of resources, commentary, and answers on our website. Just go to www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great War of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, Equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At Equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make Equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.